Cute. My heart melted. VOA Wonder Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, Jill Robbins and I bring you the Higher Education Report. We look at some concerns people have about community colleges in the U.S. Community colleges are two-year schools that help bridge the gap between high school and four-year colleges and universities. They also offer job training programs. However, some students and observers are worried that they are no longer serving the people they are supposed to help. After that, Ana Mateo has words and their stories. She teaches us about hard work and hope in this week's episode about the word tunnel. Stay tuned for my conversation with Ana about the light at the end of the tunnel and her favorite tunnel. It happens to be in the American state of Pennsylvania. Can you guess its name? And finally, Kelly Jean Kelly brings us the next part in our series on America's presidents. This week, we learn about the 8th president, Martin Van Buren. He was Andrew Jackson's Secretary of State and Vice President. Now, here is the Higher Education Report. Recent research suggests that there has been a big drop in enrollment in community colleges. Two-year community colleges fill the gap between high schools and four-year colleges. Some students take community college classes to get job training. Others go to community colleges to take lower-cost classes before moving to a four-year university. Community colleges can cost thousands of dollars less than four-year schools. But some students say credits for classes at community colleges do not always transfer to four-year colleges, and some employers say workers from community colleges are not always ready for jobs. At the same time, there are many jobs for people without a college education, which makes people believe they do not need college. Since 2010, the number of students at U.S. community colleges has dropped by 37%, or about 2.6 million students. Those numbers come from the National Student Clearinghouse Research Center, a nonprofit group. That is a surprise to many people because during the same period, the cost of higher education in the U.S. went up sharply. Many private four-year colleges can cost over $40,000 per year. Community colleges cost, on average, less than $4,000 per year. Some are even free of cost.
Students say they are dropping out of community colleges because they lack support. Enrique Camara of Washington State was a good student in high school. He wanted to take audio engineering classes. But when he got to Shoreline Community College, he said it felt like he was in a weird maze. He felt lost. He said he had trouble getting help with things like choosing the correct classes and getting financial aid. Camara said he had to run from office to office to find out what to do. After two school terms, Kamara left Shoreline, and he now works at a restaurant and plays music in two bands. Kamara is not the only student who had problems. Megan Parrish is 26. She lives in the southern state of Arkansas. She has been taking community college classes since 2016. She said she often has trouble getting information from administrators and advisors. Sometimes it took 30 days to get an answer from a person in the financial aid office. 20-year-old Orianan Lewis is in a program for medical assistance at Chattahoochee Valley Community College in Alabama. She has had problems finishing her schoolwork because of a chronic sickness. Because she missed many classes, she was put on academic probation. That meant she was in danger of failing school. She said she only got attention from people who worked at the college when they realized she might leave. "I feel like they should talk to their students more," Lewis said, "because a person can have a whole lot going on. That means they might have problems others do not know about."
Supporters of community colleges say they are supposed to help the students who need the most support, but there is not enough money to help everyone. In 2020, the Center for American Progress, a nonprofit group, said community colleges get $8,800 less government money per student than four-year colleges. But experts, like Joseph Fuller of Harvard Business School, say the lack of money is only an excuse made by schools that are poorly run. Davis Jenkins is a researcher at the Community College Research Center, part of Teachers College at Columbia University in New York. He calls the current situation a reckoning. He said, "The drop in students attending community colleges would look even worse if it were not for high school students. Some high school students take part in programs that enroll them in community college classes. Many students at community colleges start school aiming to move on to a four-year college, but research suggests the number of students able to do that is decreasing. The two-year schools have the worst completion rates of any kind of university or college. About half the students leave school within the first year. Only about 40% finish their two-year school term within 6 years. Many of the students who attend community colleges are minorities. Half of all Hispanic students and 40% of all Black students in higher education are at community colleges. If they are having trouble finishing a two-year program, that means they are not moving on to four-year colleges or finishing the job training programs. Observers say this is a problem for the U.S. economy. For years, community colleges have trained people to work as nurses, assistants to dentists, auto repair technicians, machine operators, and many other jobs. If students do not complete two-year programs to become qualified for jobs, businesses will have trouble finding skilled workers.
A recent study by the Harvard Business School showed not all employers are happy with community college graduates. Only 62% of employers thought community college graduates were ready to work. In addition, all colleges are having trouble keeping young people in recent years. That is because there are many jobs available right now that pay well and do not require a college education. This hurts community colleges more than four-year colleges. In Michigan, the number of students going to community colleges dropped 3 times faster than those going to 4-year colleges. That information comes from the state's Center for Educational Performance and Information. It covers the period from 2018 to 2021. Even with all the problems, some community colleges do very well. Joseph Fuller, the professor at Harvard Business School, studies management. He said, "Concerns about community colleges lacking enough money are legitimate. But a number of community colleges do extraordinarily well," Fuller said. "So it's not impossible." I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Dan Friedel.
And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. Tunnels are long passageways that help us get from one point to another. We drive through tunnels. Subways and trains travel through tunnels. We can walk through tunnels and be protected from bad weather. Some tunnels are very long. When we drive through them, we must turn on our headlights. If not, we cannot see. If you are afraid of long dark tunnels, having lights is important. And that gives us this expression, light at the end of the tunnel. This means to have hope that a bad situation will soon come to an end. Imagine you are traveling through a long dark tunnel. You keep going and going, but you only see darkness. Then, finally, you see light up ahead. The end of the tunnel is near. We use this expression for any difficult situation or long process. Let's say you are working on a long, difficult project. It feels like you will never finish. But then, after a long day of working, you finally see the light at the end of the tunnel. There is hope that the project will finally be finished. Our other tunnel expression for today is not as hopeful. Tunnel vision is an actual condition where your field of vision is limited. You have a narrow field of vision resulting in loss of side vision. That is the medical condition. As an expression, to have tunnel vision means you are narrow-minded. You have a small or narrow viewpoint on a certain subject. It can also mean that you are single-minded, meaning you are only able to think of one thing. Tunnel vision is usually not considered a good thing. But sometimes having tunnel vision temporarily helps you to finish something. Used this way, tunnel vision means to be extremely focused on something or on a part of something while ignoring other things. So again, that can be helpful. When talking about people who have tunnel vision, we can also say they have blinders on. They are not willing to see certain things. As with tunnel vision, having blinders on can also help you finish something difficult or meet a goal. Tunnel can also be used as a verb. It means to dig or bore through something. It is quite an act to tunnel through a mountain when making a tunnel. But you can also dig through things like work. If I tunnel through a pile of documents, it means I was buried in work, but worked my way out. And that's all the time we have for this Words and Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Anna Mateo.
Thank you, Anna. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to the Learning English broadcast. We are joined now by one person who clearly knows a lot about the word tunnel and all of its uses, Anna Mateo. Welcome, Anna.
Thanks for the invite, Dan. I guess I am an expert on tunnel expressions, but not actual tunnels. I just wrote about these two expressions, light at the end of the tunnel and having tunnel vision. My favorite is light at the end of the tunnel, because it means there is hope after a long, difficult process.
So, Anna, I sometimes feel that by Friday, if it has been a hard week, I've reached the light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe I put in a number of long days at the office, and I'm looking forward to a long weekend. What's another time when you've seen the light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, I think we all had a light at the end of the tunnel kind of experience with the return to outside activities after the global pandemic. For many people, that was a rough time. But knowing there was a light at the end of the tunnel was important. It was hope for better times.
That's a good point, Anna. Anna, you mentioned that tunnel is a word that can be both a noun and a verb. For example, a tunnel can be something a train passes through, like if it goes through a mountain instead of around it. But also, the work done to create the path for the train is known as tunneling. It got me wondering, do you have a favorite or least favorite tunnel you have ever been in? My least favorite is probably the Lincoln Tunnel that goes between New Jersey and New York City. The traffic in there can be a nightmare.
Actually, I have a favorite tunnel. In Pittsburgh, the Fort Pitt Tunnel is amazing. As you come through it, you get an amazing view of the city and how it sits on three rivers. It's really beautiful if you like cities, and I do.
Wow, Anna, that's a good choice. It's definitely a great view. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, Dan.
It is always nice to have Anna on the program. If you enjoy Anna's contributions to our broadcast, be sure to visit our website at learningenglish.voanews.com. There you can find out about one of our new English learning programs featuring Anna. Here's Ashley Thompson with more.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are talking about Martin Van Buren. He was sworn in as the 8th President of the United States in 1837. Van Buren had already been working for the White House for several years. He had been the Secretary of State for President Andrew Jackson and later his vice president. Jackson asked his party, the Democrats, to nominate Van Buren as their presidential candidate in the 1836 election. They agreed, and Van Buren won that election easily. But he did not win the next election, or the next, or the next. In his inaugural speech in 1837, Van Buren noted that he was the first U.S. president to be born after the American Revolution. He was also the first president who was not from a British family. His ancestors were Dutch. He remains the only president, so far, who did not speak English as his first language. In his inaugural speech, Van Buren predicted better times for Americans. But several days later, an economic crisis struck. The situation put the country in a depression that lasted for the rest of Van Buren's term. It was one reason the president's opponents called him Martin Van Ruin. The depression was not Van Buren's only problem. He also faced a dispute with Britain related to the border between the U.S. and Canada. The conflict nearly turned into war. Historian Joel Silby says most experts do not think Van Buren was a strong president. However, Silby notes, Van Buren left an important legacy that still operates today. He created the modern U.S. political system. Van Buren's political education began early. His father was a farmer and operated a hotel at a small town in New York State. Lawmakers sometimes visited the hotel. By listening to them, the future president learned about politics. Eventually, Van Buren studied in a law office and became a lawyer. In the first years of his career, he defended farmers who were fighting large plantation owners for their land. As a result, he developed a reputation for helping the common man. Van Buren became a local official, and then a senator, and governor of New York. When he was 24, he married a young woman he had grown up with, but she died of tuberculosis after 12 years, leaving him with 4 sons. Historian Joel Silby says, although Van Buren did not remarry, he was known as quite charming among the ladies. Van Buren had a gift for politics, that is, developing relationships and forming alliances. Historian Joel Silby says most people who knew Van Buren liked him. He seemed warm and friendly. He tried to keep his work-related life and social activities separate. It was not unusual to see him exchange handshakes, smiles, and jokes with men who were his political enemies. His ability to make friends became a powerful tool. Before Van Buren, even lawmakers from the same political party operated independently. They had their own beliefs, their own supporters, and their own allies. Van Buren brought them together. First, he identified people who followed the ideas of Thomas Jefferson, support for independent farmers and states' rights. The group had become known as the Democratic Party, although it was in many ways different from the Democratic Party of today. Van Buren organized meetings for Democrats to talk about their political beliefs. He persuaded them to support the same policies, at that time the policies of Andrew Jackson. Sometimes Van Buren helped people who supported Jackson's policies. He gave them government jobs. Van Buren also used a series of meetings to choose one presidential candidate for the party. If this process seems clear-cut, it was not at the time. During the election of 1824, for example, a single party had four separate candidates for president, one for each part of the country. Van Buren's system eventually gave rise to the national conventions that major U.S. parties use today to nominate their candidates. Van Buren also helped create the modern political campaign. In the 1820s, he saw that many state constitutions were lifting some of their voting restrictions. As a result, states were giving more white males the right to vote. Women, and most African American men, were still largely prohibited from voting. Historian Joel Silby says, Van Buren wanted to bring the new voters into the Democratic Party. He decided to improve on the methods that other, smaller groups had used. Campaign events, speeches, and organized efforts to bring people to vote on Election Day. Silby explains that these efforts to persuade and energize voters were new to national politics. Now they are some of the major features of political campaigns. In the election of 1840, Van Buren sought a second term as president. This time, his opponents used Van Buren's political techniques against him. Silby says the new opposition party, called the Whigs, used popular speeches and events to portray Van Buren as a failed president. Crowds shouted, "Matty Van is a used-up man." In other words, he no longer had any power or effect in government. Critics also made fun of Van Buren's fine-looking, even fussy clothes. They portrayed him as a rich, elite candidate. They compared him unfavorably to their candidate, a military hero named William Henry Harrison. Yet it was Van Buren who had come from a poor family, and Harrison from a wealthy one. Even so, Van Buren lost the election of 1840. 4 years later, Van Buren again sought the presidency. This time, even Andrew Jackson did not support him. Instead, Jackson backed a man who supported the seizure of Texas and expanding slavery, James Polk. But Van Buren did not permit those defeats to stop his political career. He ran again in the presidential election of 1848. This time, Van Buren withdrew from the Democratic Party he had helped build. He ran instead as the candidate of a new anti-slavery party called the Free Soilers. But even Van Buren's political skills could not persuade voters. He did not win a single state. After losing this final presidential election, Van Buren finally retired. He spent time with his children and grandchildren, traveled, and wrote about his life. At 79, he died of heart failure. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's the Learning English broadcast for today. Thank you, Kelly, for that report on, let's say, the persistent, which means to try again and again, Martin Van Buren. And thanks to my VOA colleagues, Jill Robbins, who helped with the higher education report on community colleges, and Anna Mateo for her discussion about the many uses of the word tunnel. Most importantly, thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the program. For more, visit our website at learningenglish.voanews.com. I'm Dan Friedell.